for the Michigan Care Improvement Registry. I'm an epidemiologist, and I work just about full-time on analyzing information from that registry. And I'm funded by CDC's IIS Sentinel Site program that Laura just ran through. So let me just give you a little bit more background about the Michigan Care Improvement Registry, or we call it the MICR for short. It's been operational since 1998. We recently became a birth-to-death immunization registry prior to June 2006. We actually removed information on people that were less than 20 years of age. That was a statutory requirement. But fortunately, we've gotten rid of that. We have very high participation, roughly on the order of 95%. There's some we're still trying to work out some measurement issues, but that's a decent estimate. Michigan is a fairly large state. We have 10 million people and 130,000 births per year, and our Sentinel area comprises about 70% of the state in terms of population. So I'm primarily here today to talk about applying GIS methods to immunization registry data. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is the choropleth maps. And choropleth is a funny word, but all it means is it's a map with defined areas that are different colors. And it's very easy to do. You don't usually need geocoded information, which is a very significant and time consuming step in geographic analysis. It's conceptually simple, but you're limited to the areas that you have. You may not have the ability to split your data down into smaller levels, although you can usually aggregate into larger areas pretty easily. So as an example, these are some data that I mapped out by census tract. So we're looking at immunization coverage by census tract. Red or orange areas tend to have lower coverage, and greener areas have higher coverage. And you can see that there's really a lot of heterogeneity throughout the state of Michigan. You can kind of get an idea for where the population centers are in Michigan by the size of the census tract. Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula here are quite sparsely populated. You see the large census tracts. The Census Bureau draws their census tracts in such a way that you get roughly the same number of people per census tract. You get down here into southeast Michigan. You can see that the population density is greater due to the smaller size of the census tract. So let me just zoom in on this area of the state, which is Genesee County, which includes the city of Flint, which is one of Michigan's largest cities. Before I do that, these are whited out because this is Oakland County, Wayne County, and the city of Detroit, and those are the only parts of the state which are not included in our Sentinel area. So let me zoom in on Genesee County and the city of Flint now. And you can see even on the intra-county level, there's still a lot of heterogeneity. If you were squinting at this and squinting at the big map, they would look fairly similar. And right in the middle of the county here is the city of Flint. And you can get a fair amount of useful information out of this, but even these smaller census tracts can have hundreds of 19 to 35 month old children in them, and it really would be nice to get a finer level of detail so we can more closely narrow in on pockets of need for immunization and get immunizations to the kids who really need them. And to do that, you have to geocode. Now, the MCR receives responsible party addresses either from the birth certificate or as kids move around and go to new doctors, the doctors or the nurses or the clinic staff will input fresh address information. And we've been working with our Department of Human Services to kind of leech off of their copy of postal software used capacity that they're not using to geocode the addresses in our registry. And we found that we get actually a surprisingly good match rate. About 85% of the addresses yield good usable coordinates down to the street level. And once you have these coordinates, it's very easy to plug them into a geographic information system, GIS, and apply other methods to them. If you don't have something fancy like PostalSoft, you can do this yourself using ArcView, but it takes some training. It can be fairly laborious, but it is doable. So one of the things you can do with your point data that once you've geocoded all of your addresses is you can convert it to a continuous surface using density mapping. And density mapping works, if you've ever been to the beach and you've made a drip castle, it works like that. Every point where there's a person in this case gets a drip on top of it, and the drips overlap and they stack, and you can see in this example we've got lower concentrations of people up here, and it's dark coming down into here. It's kind of intermediate, and down here in the corner you have your greatest amount of people, and the area is white, and the brightness is more or less related to kids per square mile. So let me show you another example of that. This is a small area of a density map that covers an urban area in Michigan. And lighter areas show where there are more children who are incomplete for the 431331 series, which is basically the generally recommended set of childhood immunizations for kids 19 to 35 months of age. And the orange lines that you can see are actual city streets. So these areas are individual city blocks. So by reprocessing the point data into this density map format, you can get pocket of need information down to a very fine level of detail, which at least in theory is useful for doing targeted interventions, which is especially useful when you have limited resources. And we all probably have strictly limited resources. So what I'm going to do now is we're going to have a look at some of these density maps as applied to the city of Flint. And this is not showing up terribly well on this display, but if you can see these kind of aqua-colored boundaries, these are places where, given earlier maps that I had made for the Genesee County Health Department, they identified these areas as places that they wanted to intervene in, and they sent some people out and they distributed flyers. And these larger red areas are three zip codes where, kind of during the same period, the same several month period of time, there were some recalls that happened. And using our immunization registry, we can look at particular areas. We can look at whole counties. We can look at individual immunization clinics, healthcare providers, or you can do it at the zip code level. And we have some reports built in where the local health department can easily compare by zip code. So it's easy for them to run recalls by zip code. So As before, the brighter areas correspond to where you have more children who are incomplete on their immunizations. It's not in any way corrected for population. That is not terribly important, because what we're really interested in terms of intervention is finding where the most people who are incomplete are. So I am going to tick through about 9 months of these data, and you can kind of watch the white and gray blobs and see how things change over time. So here we're looking at February 2007, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Okay, so it is kind of hard to say from looking at this whether things changed all that much in those small aqua bordered intervention areas that I mentioned. But at least you can see the general take home message here is you can see that things are changing over time. It kind of seems like most areas increase their coverage a bit in the summer months. We see the brightness go down during the summer months, and then maybe in September and October it started to bounce back a bit. You started seeing a few more white areas. So I'm going to run through it one more time, except I'm going to note on the screen where recalls and flyer interventions happened and when, because they were kind of scattered throughout the year. So in February we start off, there was a January recall up in that kind of north central zip code. And I'll go through those like before. March, nothing happened. April, we did some, Genesee County did some flyers. May, another recall. June, there was a countywide recall, as well as a zip code recall, and some more flyering. July, more flyering. August, more flyering. September, and October. And if you're scratching your head and trying to figure out where the smoking gun was, don't worry, because there really wasn't one. It doesn't look like the flyers did much good. I also used a more rigorous method. I compared immunization rates inside the flyered areas with the area immediately outside. If you know a little bit about GIS, you can draw a buffer around these areas and compare the kind of the outer donut area with the inner hole in the donut area and see if there's a difference. And there was no difference. And it's a little disappointing that the flyers didn't seem to work, but at least we know that now, and now we know to try something different. So this is all great, but how do we actually use this? I've been working with Genesee County to do this for quite some time, almost since I started working with the state of Michigan about 5 years ago, and progress has been slow during that time. They lost some key staff. It took them a while to hire people on. They don't know a whole lot about GIS. I've been learning GIS over the past few years, and I'm not an expert, but I do know something. And local health departments are really strapped. They have a lot of competition for their time, and you know, a lot of demands, and not very many staff. So I think to really use this stuff, you need products that are easy for someone who doesn't know. GIS, and I attempted to address that by designing a product that has been distributed to Michigan's local health departments, and it makes use of ArcViewer, which is an ESRI product. It's a free map viewing program. The catch on that is if you want to make the maps that can be viewed with the free viewing program, you have to get Arc Publisher, which costs $2,000. But ESRI is good enough to give anybody who wants it a free, I think it's a 60 or 90 day demonstration license. And the file and the files that you create with that demonstration license do not go away. They do not expire. They work permanently. So you can get your demonstration license and crank out these things all you want, and the license may expire. You might not be able to make any more of these things, but the ones you have, you'll still be able to keep and use and distribute to your heart's content. So this is here we're charting immunization coverage throughout the state, but instead of census tract, this time we're looking at it by school district. And lighter areas of brown correspond to lower immunization coverage. And it's a little hard to see what's going on here, but let me zoom into the county level and you'll be able to see better. I should point out another advantage to this method of distributing geographic information is all the user really has to know how to do is zoom. You can set it up such that layers turn on and off at different zoom levels. Labels pop in and out at the appropriate zoom level so that the user can see what they're looking at without having to mess with a lot of controls. So again, zooming in on Genesee County, you can see that we have the school districts labeled now. You can also see these blue circles, which are in the middle of each school district, and those correspond to the student population. So the bigger the circle is, the more students are in that school district. And what we're really looking for to get maybe the most bang for your buck with your intervention would be an area with lighter color, i.e. lower immunization coverage, but say a really big circle, high student body. And fortunately, there aren't a whole lot of those. It seems that school districts with lots of students tend to have pretty decent immunization coverage. And the green lines are county lines, and you can see the counties are labeled as well as the school districts. So I can zoom in again to a portion of Genesee County, and what has happened now is, first of all, we have some main roads on the map now to provide some context, and the individual school buildings have popped in. And the school buildings are marked with a little pie chart that shows you the immunization coverage. So, you know, the size of the red slice gives you some idea of how well that particular school is doing. Kind of at a glance. Here's one that's fairly large and could probably do with a little improvement. There are others that are smaller and yet are doing better. The ones that are just kind of white dots, those are actual schools, but we either don't have data for them or they aren't in the particular grade group that we're looking at, which in this case is kindergartners. So some of these white dots are high schools, and we obviously don't have data on them for kindergartners. So if I zoom in even a little bit more, you get individual labels for individual schools, so you can tell at a glance exactly which school you're looking at without having to mess around with a bunch of GIS controls that you might not understand. Although if the user does want to get specific information about any of these schools, there is a tool within ArcViewer where you can just click on the school and a little window will pop up that gives you that information. So future plans, the school district maps are helpful, but the school district is still a pretty large unit of aggregation. It would be nice to have more detail readily available to local health departments. So one of the things that we're planning is a web-based mapping application that will allow local health departments to create custom maps for their choice of whatever type of vaccine, whatever amount of vaccine, whatever age group, and any particular geographic area. And that's another thing that we're planning to spend central site money on, that the CDC has so kindly provided us with. And I would just like to acknowledge my friends and colleagues in Genesee County, as well as a coworker of mine at the Michigan Department of Community Health, who have helped me work through some of these things. And how are we, Diana? How are we doing on time? Okay, so a couple questions before we move on. Yes, you in the red. I can't really speak to that personally because I don't live in Genesee County. But when I showed them to the local health department folks, there were some areas that kind of were in line with their assumptions, and there were some areas that they were surprised about, and it sparked a lot of discussion about what to do about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let me just summarize the question. She's asking if when I did the maps, am I counting children whose parents have exempted them from vaccines, and therefore in Michigan, as in other states, schools are required to keep track of their children who are immunized, and they're required to account for a certain percentage of the population. And in terms of that accounting, whether a kid is actually immunized or whether they've exempted, it doesn't really matter. But we care, of course, about whether the kid is actually vaccinated. And what I've mapped here is just whether or not the kid is vaccinated.
So the red area is both exemptions and not up to date.
Correct. Jim.
We haven't done it in Oregon, but we've mapped the two separate things. Mapping the exemptions of the school-age kids and correlating that with the coverage rates of the younger kids, because we're seeing multiple kids in a family where there might be an exemption that will follow with the younger kid. Mm. There may be an opportunity to intervene before that happens.
That's great.
But we haven't actually...
I have done some mapping of immunization exemptions. I haven't really taken that next step though. You saw earlier with Laura's talk that there are basic requirements for being in the Sentinel area. And in point of fact, in Detroit, Wayne, and Oakland counties, the provider participation isn't quite as good. And that's basically the reason why they're not in the Sentinel area. They've been improving, and once they get to a similar level with the rest of the state, we will add them to the Sentinel area. How are we? Are we okay? Okay. More or less. Actually, I expanded the Sentinel site at the beginning of this year, and basically the criterion I used at that time was just measured immunization coverage. There were several counties which had immunization coverage measured by the registry on par with the rest of the state, so I just added them in there. There are some issues with with measuring, with actually measuring provider participation. If you have a lot of providers in an area, like the Detroit area, it's difficult for the local health folks to figure out which people have gone out of business, which people have come into business, who are your people who are just recalcitrant and don't want to be involved. So the greater the population density, the more trouble you have getting those provider participation numbers. But they have made some great improvement in the last year or so. Okay.
Have you also done this for VSC versus other
banks? The mapping, no, I have not. I've dabbled a little bit with other analysis that makes use of that, but I couldn't throw out numbers off the top of my head. Okay. Would you like?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I understand that you correct for the population in general because you want to find pockets. But if you don't correct for that, then you can't really tell if there's any variation to look for the particular conditions. Is that important?
It has some importance, and well. My back pocket slide here. We have looked at that, and we can do cluster analysis. But I think what the local health department was more interested in is where are the most people who we can get at, and if we've got a significant cluster, but it's only got 10 people in it, yeah. From the point of view of what the health department wants to do, it's not as useful. It might still be useful in finding areas where, you know, maybe this would help you find areas where there's, you know, people clustered together who are of a particular religion which don't want immunization. Something like this might also help your outreach, but in terms of getting your intervention out to, you know, the most people possible, the density maps are more useful.
You might identify people, especially in Angel, or
That's true. Well, I don't want to take up everybody else's time, but thank you very much.